All right, it looks like we are presently live with zero viewers. This is exciting stuff to watch. We didn't plan this one very far in advance, but this is like the nightmare of a comedy show. The guest today on this very exciting live stream is my pal, Todd Royce, who is a comedian, a former pro wrestler. He's a Kill Tony Golden Ticket member, maybe the only Washington State origin Kill Tony Golden Ticket member. He has an enormous TikTok following. You can find him all over the place at Todd Royce XXL. Todd Royce.
You know what I love about that intro? Shit.
What? For the people that are just listening, Todd, by the way, and just so everyone knows, send us a chat if Todd's too quiet, because last week Gabe was too quiet, and I can adjust his volume, but Todd immediately, he's on his phone in a hotel room in Tampa, and immediately dropped his phone, and we got to look at the ceiling.
There we go. I also love the intro. Todd's a former pro wrestler, he's a comedian, he's got a huge following on TikTok, he's a kill tote, zero people are watching this right now.
It'll go out on the podcast feed later also, so it'll get four total listens.
Should we do an over under how many times that phone is going to slip and we're going to be looking at the ceiling?
Well, what's funny is we talked about this earlier in the day, and I was like, hey, you could do this, and you go, I know how to do things. You shut me up and shut me down. You both shut me up and shut me down because I was trying to give you a suggestion. And then moments into the podcast, everything fell apart.
Yeah. So very similar. It feels very similar to how last night started for me. I was doing.
You're in Tampa for comedy, obviously. What happened last night?
Tampa, Florida, Side Splitters. I was really excited because it's Side Splitters. You hear all about, they do their little video package at the beginning. And it just shows a succession of comics on different podcasts talking about how much they love Side Splitters. It's a great club, and I was really excited about it. And the host brings me up, and he asked me, you always get the question, what do you want in your intro? And I'm like, well, tell him I have over 100 million views on social media or whatever. So he brings me up, and he's like, he has almost 500,000 views on social media, which right off the bat was a little bit like, but it's fine, whatever. But then as I'm walking up, there's two steps. And, man, when I tell you...
Oh, good. I'm excited.
That I took that first step. I took that first step beautifully. I mean, like a champ. I stepped up, no problem whatsoever. The second one, it literally tripped me. I fell down. And by the way, before I was even going up, I had my bottle of water and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be smart here. This is literally how I'm going to be smart. Instead of leaving the cap on, I'm going to take the cap off. It's a bottle of water. I'm just going to go walk up there, have it there so I don't have to unscrew the cap while I'm talking. And so I go up there with my open bottle of water, trip over the second step, fall flat on my face. Water hits the stage, spurts up all over the place. I found out after I got off stage, my knee and my shin were both bleeding the entire time I was on stage because I cut myself on the set.
Wow.
It was amazing.
I did a show at the Elma Fairgrounds in Washington State, and the stage was a hay bale trailer. And I'm climbing up onto it. Same situation, because I like to bring water on stage also. I get parched. Oh my God, it happened again. Damn it, Todd. The problem, Todd, the problem is that you're at your age and level of fitness. Sometimes I worry if this is like, if we are witnessing the end live on social media, so I'm getting onto this. Same thing. Always open the water before I go up. I just want it sitting there open. I don't want to be fumbling with it on stage, fighting. I don't need listen, I'm going to talk about embarrassing things. Embarrassing things are going to happen. I don't need the audience seeing me fail to open a water bottle. And I'm climbing up onto this hay bale trailer. And not only does my water spill, but it spills directly onto my crotch. So it looks to the audience, they don't know what I've just gone through. This is all, I'm walking from behind this hay bale trailer. They think I'm literally pissing myself getting on stage. Todd, you're frozen. My God, Todd, the level of technical issues we've had to get you on. We did like a full IT session earlier today.
I know, but
the way you freeze frames are amazing.
That's probably my fault.
I have gig speed internet. I suspect your fucking Tampa Holiday Inn probably is a little worse. Oh my God, are you on the Wi-Fi? Can you get off of the Wi-Fi? Jesus, get your Boost mobile phone fucking
working.
I'm
on the Wi-Fi now. You want me to get off of it?
Get off the Wi-Fi, I bet. I bet that'll help. It'll probably kick you off for a second, but I'll vamp for you because I do. There's another story that I'm gonna let Todd tell. Hold on, yeah, we get one frame of you every 45 seconds, so I'm holding. There's another story about Todd causing a problem getting onto stage that I'm going to have him tell when he gets back. But I have, if you go on my Instagram, I'm going to kick Todd. Looks like he's, it's June 2020 and he's, oh, here he is. Here he is. You were just a black square for a while. I thought you were making a social media statement. can you tell the story? So I finished the story about getting the water on my my crotch and making it look like I pissed myself because I was so scared to go on stage. But I remember a story about you trying to get on stage, and the comedian that you were working with was an older lady, very funny lady, and you stepped on her stool that she uses to get on stage, and you tell me what happened after that.
Well, I thought, in my defense,
Susan Rice is the comic, by the way, very funny.
Very, very funny. I legitimately thought that she was there, that the stool was there for all of us. I thought that the venue had set that there. And apparently it was something that she brings to every show because as an older lady, she might need help getting up on stage. And I thought as a young, very large man, I could use that same help getting up on stage. And happened was when I stepped on her step, it gave me literally no resistance. It immediately it looked like I was like, fuck this lady, and just stomped on it.
It looked like you dropped a cartoon anvil on it.
It really did. And then so I go up, I'm the host, I go up and I'm doing my set. The whole time going, like, I'm looking at her. She's being so nice. She's watching. She's laughing. She's applauding. She's being so nice. And I'm like, I just destroyed her property. And then...
She didn't know at that point, right? She wasn't aware yet that she... You smashed it You smashed it like one of the Goombas on Mario.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And then Josh Firestein went up and he was featuring, and his entire set, the entire 30 minutes, I was scrambling, trying to figure out some alternative. And finally, the owner of the bar went and got a case of beer. And he was like, this will be about the same size. And he handed it to me and he said, go take that up to the stage. And I was holding him by his handle. And as I started walking up stage, I could feel it start to rip. And I was like, oh, shit. I caught it and everything was fine, but I just thought, like, it's going to be my luck to just beer all over the place too.
That would have been tremendous. I wish that happened. I wish you got drummed out of comedy as a result of it, and that happened.
Have you talked
to Susan Rice ever since then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We worked a couple shows together. She's like, hey, no stage. I didn't bring my step today. But I was trying to fix it. And I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I'm not very good with my hands.
You've tried to pleasure me many times with your hands, and it just never goes well.
I don't know if it's me or if it's the ED, but
give me ED. You're right.
I tried to fix it, and then I couldn't. And I said, "Well, I'll buy you one." She was like, "Don't worry about it. It was cheap. I can just get another one or whatever." But I did. I got her address and I sent her a new one and all that sort of stuff. But no, luckily I never had that problem again. I did. The next time I saw her, though, I just punched her right in the throat because I thought
that's good. She needs that. So I worked with her. I did the first time I ever worked with her, Susan Rice, very funny comic. I think, and this is going to sound like an insult, I believe her Instagram is funny old bag. Let's see if I can.
I hope it's just humorous Susan Rice. I think it's funny old bag.
She, I believe that she sells merch it just says funny old bag on it, which is very funny. That's great merch.
I got one of her bags.
Oh, wow. That's what you get for crushing her stool.
That's right. It's a lesson for all of you younger comics out there is when you're working with a really good headliner, just do something to destroy something so that they remember you. She'll always remember me as the fat bastard who destroyed her, made her have to step up on beer.
Yeah, so this is Susan Rice, for the record. Great comic. Check her out. Funny old bag. It is funny old bag. Because now we're going to tell stories that I don't think they're bad, but I don't know if they're like, if she's going to be thrilled.
Oh, good.
I don't even know if this is, maybe not even thrilled like they're bad about her, just like reminding her of them. So I worked a show with her. The first show I did was, it got snowed out. The original show got snowed out. It was Corey Michaelis's Everett Comedy Night show at Emery's in Everett. And the first episode or the first show got, God, first episode. I'm like all, oh my God, I'm all over the place here. The first, I'm trying to self-produce, Todd, and it's a problem. I know. The first version of the show got canceled because of snow. The second one, actually, coincidentally, Corey was at the San Luis Obispo comedy festival, the SLO comedy festival, and it was the one, I believe that it was the one where Brody Stevens was supposed to be there and died. So anyway, I'm working with Susan, and I had like a pretty good set, and she goes, oh my God, you were so good, I'd love to use you. She saw 10 minutes of my material, right? So we go the next one. The next time I work with her, she's given like a list of features that she could work with. I don't know what she wants out of a feature. I just get given, my name gets given to her. And she goes, oh, I remember him. How about him? He's good and he's pretty clean. Well, she had seen like a hosting set, a short set. So I end on like a 5-minute bit about eating ass. No joke has caused me more problems in my life. I have racial jokes. I have political jokes. And no joke has caused me more problems than this ass-eating joke. And I get through this point in my set, and I'm watching. I get to see Susan Rice realize the mistake she made. Because it's an outdoor show at a brewery. It wasn't, this particular event was not particularly well attended. So there's just a direct line of sight between me and her. And I'm sitting there going like, is she laughing because she likes this? Or is she laughing because she hates this? And I think she would probably be nice enough to not say that she hates it, but I think she hated it the whole time.
Probably hated it, yeah. Well, did she ever book you again?
No. No. I think she learned her lesson. Yeah, I'd still happily work with her, and I'd love to, if I ever have the opportunity to book somebody, I think she's incredible. And I also, by the way, don't do the Susan, if this gets to you, I don't do the ass-eating joke anymore. It's been 2 years, and people still bring it up to me, though.
Wasn't it on your special?
Yeah, it was. It was the last joke. If you want to just go straight to it, it's like 20 minutes into a 25-minute quote-unquote special. I still feel awkward calling it a special.
I think if anybody wants to go see it, though, it's Baby Weight, right, on YouTube, and then just skip right to like 24 minutes, 59 seconds, and I think you're good to go.
Just give me the view. That's all I need. It's got it's Baby WAIT, not WEIGHT.
No,
it's a pun, Todd. Every special title has to be a stupid pun.
I like it. I've already decided that mine's going to be What a Waste.
Oh, WAIST?
That's right. You know what? It might not be now, based on your reaction of, oh, yeah, I get it. Maybe I won't use it.
I think it's a sight gag a little bit. You got to see it a little bit.
And then it's the poem.
I think the idea of it going across your waist would be funny, too. Like what a, and then waist is across your waist. Also, I'm trying to figure out on these settings if I have some, am I just like incredibly, is my skin perfect right now, or do I have some sort of like, you know, those Zoom filters? Like this feels too good. My skin looks too good for what it really is, I think.
You look a little healthy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my beard looks full. My skin looks good. What's going on over here?
Yeah.
I'm doing nothing to make this. I am on my like 16th day of keto. Like, look at Todd check himself out.
I'm just also,
for full transparency, I called Todd earlier and he goes, "Oh, that's in a couple hours. Good. I look like shit. I need to do myself up or something like that."
This is me cleaned up.
These are new glasses, I think, right?
This
is exciting for all the listeners. Give us some comments on Todd's glasses. Because you used to have Ted Bundy glasses, and now you've switched to like modified. You're like between Ted Bundy and Harry Potter.
Well, here's what's fun is I did that Warby Parker thing, not a sponsor, and
sure.
I got like three different prescription glasses, and one of them I stuck with the Jeffrey Dahmer style, and I did that specifically because that's sort of something that I was kind of known for, or whatever, like on TikTok, people comment about it. One girl, very misguided but very nice, actually got a tattoo of my glasses, and it said, "What's that in them?" Which is one of the
that
craziest
is
things.
Terrible.
It's so insane.
Is so much worse than being a teen pregnancy. If my daughter comes home with a Todd Royce tattoo, I'm fucking sending her to an orphanage.
But what if? Never mind. I'm not going to make that joke. Now, here's the question, though. No, so I've been wearing those glasses, and one of my followers put on a chat. She said, "Your glasses make you look like Jeffrey Dahmer never stopped eating people," which is such a great joke. That I said, yeah. I was like, I need, I'll pay you for that joke if I have to. I'm gonna, and so I've been doing that joke. And then last night, she actually lives here in Tampa. A week ago, my lens broke on that pair mm-hmm. of glasses, so I couldn't wear it. Last night, she was at the show, and she's like, "Why didn't you do my joke?" And it's because this doesn't make me look like Jeffrey Dahmer. It was a long story.
No, I think it's enough. Also, good Mike Hansen, Tacoma comic. Also, a guy who very generously booked me on a show, and then very generously let me cancel on him at the very last minute because I had a more lucrative offer come along. Mike Hansen is the man. Let's pull up old Sal Jess. Let's see what.
I think that's a fair. I hadn't really thought about it, but I think that's a fair assessment. I think it's one of the few things.
Hold on. No? Let's see. We're going to images, and I'll let the audience be the judge.
How many people are watching this right now? Is it just Mike?
Not too many. Just Mike. We could just be doing this on FaceTime to Mike.
So he's 100% going to agree.
We made it up to six. No, I'm telling you, put it in the comments. People will watch this after also. She has like the earliest one she had like a Harvey Fierstein vibe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. She looks a little Bruce Valanche in that one picture.
Bruce Valanche is a better. Let's hold on. That's a great. You're right. It's way more Bruce Valanche than.
Oh no! I think
I can't believe you ruined her with the Bruce Valanche. God, it's so. I was trying to be nice. Now I find out. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wild.
Can we do a split screen? Bruce and Sal.
Do we have? What we can do is, what can we do? I'm too stupid to do this in StreamYard, so I think what we can do is maybe go back to Sally Jesse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's Bruce Valanche. You're a brutal misogynist, Todd.
Well, but to be fair, I thought Bruce was a woman, so I guess that makes it even, I guess that doesn't really save me from being a misogynist.
Also, Mike put a comment on screen that I'm not going to put up because I've learned my lesson of talking about comedians. Not enough. Susan Rice, all the stories were nice, but I'm not talking about the comedian he put on there.
Oh, no. I have to go back and read the comment now because.
Finally, someone goes back and reads the comment. So what, you're in Tampa, and I just want to talk about the lack of, because you're doing okay in comedy. You're like. I always try to reassure people when they feel like they're doing like shit, because I'm sure you feel that way right now while you're staying an extra night in Tampa to save $31. You're sacrificing time with your wife for $31 of time of savings.
But I've had plenty of time. I got to watch the first episode of Big Bang Theory. I mean, it's been a fun day.
Yeah, well, and we're splitting the money I make on this podcast, so that's good. but there's a thing I always say that I'm in like the so a lot of times comics get real down on themselves for how their career isn't incredible, and they're right, they're not wrong.
Right.
But even just being like you're a comic who's touring, you know, featuring, headlining places, hosting places, that already puts you in like the 99th percentile of comedians, and you're like doing kind of a self-produced tour now, right?
Yeah, which does suck, but it's been working out pretty well because at least the few shows that we're doing, it's me and Carter Anderson, and this was our third show last night, and they are doing pretty well. I think that the big test to see how successful it can or can't be will be at the end of May, because that's where we had booked Chicago on May 27th and then Nashville on June 4th. And then we just decided, instead of going back and forth, obviously, let's just fill in those dates. And so we got Memphis and Louisville and a couple of other towns that we're talking to right now. So hopefully we can get the whole thing packed, and then we'll see, you know, how well that goes.
So right now you're sitting in a hotel in Tampa, because basically I suspect that if you had sold out Side Splitters, you would not be sitting in a hotel in Tampa right now. Is that right?
Well, maybe. The only reason why I'm saying that is because I bought the tickets in advance. So I don't know for sure. I will say this: the original plan when we booked Tampa, I'd been talking to somebody in Orlando as well. So we're gonna do Orlando. We had everything pretty much set for today, actually, in Orlando. And then the guy basically ghosted me for about 5 to 6 weeks. Wouldn't respond to an email. Didn't call me back. I swear to you, last week he calls me and he's like, "So is everything set up for the 21st? And I go, "No, dude, that's a week away and we haven't promoted it. You don't have it on your website. We have nothing." And so Orlando didn't happen. But originally that was the plan, was it was going to be Tampa and Orlando back to back.
And you were like, just to show you, and even though I'm incredibly successful, I'm staying an extra night in Tampa just to show you what's what, just Orlando guy. You.
Yeah, that's right. I hope that he sees this, and I hope he feels really.
He's
really
watching
bad.
It right now. He's one of the very few viewers of this live stream. I hate when bookers do that. I've had that happen to me multiple times, and but in all cases, I've been lucky that they've paid me the agreed amount pretty much. I did a show in Helena, Montana, and I've talked about this on the podcast before. Helena, Montana, the Montana Club. I'm going to see if I can pull up the.
While you're doing that, is it pronounced Helena or Helena? Because I always called it Helena, but you're saying Helena.
No, you are stupid. I probably would have to get it on my if I can, unless it shows up on images really quickly.
Helena.
The Montana Club in Helena. Hold on. You want to fight me on this, Todd? You want to fight me on this, Todd? Let's hold on. Let's. Anyway, I go to this Helena Club in Montana, and I'm like, it was like the one day of a 4-day tour. I'm doing the same run again, by the way, at the end of next week in Helena, but I'm in different places though. Helena, Missoula, Bozeman, and Billings. And I'll be there with my buddy Charles Hall. Have you ever met Charles Hall?
No.
Really? It's so weird.
Why would I lie about that?
Okay, so I don't know. Good point. I don't care, actually. I was just trying to stall until I could get this onto the screen. All right, are we ready?
Oh, really? Yeah, let's.
How to pronounce Helena. Helena. Helena.
Helena.
Helena.
Okay.
Helena.
Helena.
All right. He just kept repeating it. It wasn't my...
It's just what an asshole the way to do. How to pronounce Helena. Helena.
Anyway, though, so I was out there, the Montana Club, and I get a hold of this booker, and he's like, "How much do you need for this gig?" And I'm like, you know, whatever the amount was, it was like to pay the openers, and we're going to put some money into marketing, et cetera. And he's not that much, like not a crazy amount. And then like a month before the gig, radio silence. Don't get anything. And this is like the unfortunate thing when you have a kid is you don't want to be away from them. And right. So I'm like, I have an extra day in between shows, and I'm like, it's annoying if I don't have a show that day because I'd rather just not be away from home that day. But now I'm going to have like an off day in Bozeman, Montana, which I'm sure is a beautiful place, but it's beautiful for people who want to do shit that I don't want to do, like hiking and skiing and stuff like that. And I'm emailing them. Finally, I like send them a message on Facebook and they go, oh, that guy you were talking to got fired. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so they finally, they get back to me and they're like, we'll do the show. Obviously, we don't have tickets sold because it's we never put it on our website. It was our mistake, not your mistake. They paid me the full amount. There were like six people that they just let in for free because they didn't want the show to be bad, which thank you to them because if they made people pay, it would have been zero people.
Right.
And they paid us like a pretty good amount of money to perform for six people. And the thing that so we got there, we were like running late and it's this stressful situation because of the nature of all that. We get there, I don't even notice when we're walking out, there's swastikas like in the tiles of the entrance because this building was built in like 1897. Jeez. And so they were like the India swastikas or the good swastikas, I guess. The good swastikas might be the name of this.
But they
predate, this building predates Nazi Germany, which is amazing to imagine that anything in our world could it's such like a fixture in our world. And that like my home was built before Nazi Germany.
It's so weird because, like, I was just in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago, and when
you
see...
Oh, my God, this guy has a good career that he fucking can't even leave Tampa, but he's got a... Oh, he's in Philadelphia.
Look at the hotel. Damn it. Look at the hotel. This is not a good career. I'm...
The sign that it's bad is that it has the fire escape instructions on the door that I can see from here. That's never good when they're like, we have the fire alarm go off enough that we're not going to cover it up with, like, some fancy... It's just a big, ugly warning on the door. That might be how they have to do it in every place, but the fact that I can see it from the other end of the hotel room is a bad sign.
Yeah, it's true. It's not a great... I mean, it's one of those places, as soon as you walk in, you got the smell. And you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's... No, it's not as bad
it's
as...
Like, it's like cigarette smoke and cum.
Yeah. I stayed at a hotel a couple of months ago that was like... I walked in... And first of all, the door was already open. It was a motel. It was the entrance to the outside. There was a shopping cart outside of my room. When I went to open the door, it was already like ajar. So I had to like do the whole like I was looking under the bed and make sure nobody was in there. There was black mold in the shower. It was not a pleasant. It was not a pleasant experience. But my point was that when you see a place like Philadelphia or DC, those are like the oldest areas in the country, and there's so much in the construction and everything like that. There's so many buildings that are hundreds of years old that us on the West Coast, we rarely see that. And it's just it's crazy because we see that, and it just seems like I was with Carter, and he'd never been outside of the country. So while we're driving through that, he's like, I've never seen anything this old and all this sort of stuff. But then you go to England, and everything there is 2,000 years old. It's crazy. It's insane. You realize how young of a country we are.
Yeah, for sure, and especially on the West Coast. And I mean, Vegas is like they're probably tearing it down every 30 years. Like where you live now, everything's pretty much pretty new, at least.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just tell some shitty hotel stories. I had a gig with. Have you and I ever shared a hotel room? No, we haven't. I don't think.
Mm-mm.
A thing that people don't realize often is that the comedians you're seeing, if you're not seeing a show at like an A club and these guys aren't selling tickets, a lot of times these guys or girls, ladies, women,
whatever else,
or the everything in between, they're sharing a hotel room. And so Jess Everett and I do these gigs. We did a run of gigs and it was like progressively worse hotels as we went down. So it was Pasco, Washington at the hotel. It's a Red Lion, which does not sound like a great place. And it's not like a luxury hotel, but a pretty nice hotel room. And the gig is in the hotel. So you're like 100 yards away from your hotel. You get done, you get like 5 or 6 drinks in you, go back, you walk, go to sleep. It's like very simple and easy. We drank for free because a handful of like patrons stayed behind and bought us drinks. We got like our allotment of free drinks, and then they're like, you got to start paying. And we were like, yeah, okay, that's fine. And then people started buying us drinks. And then, by the way, our friend Jess Everett, I had brought a bottle of whiskey just in case the bar wasn't as generous as they were, and gave him a big pour of whiskey, and he walked away like blacked out drunk from my hotel room, and we just we had made love earlier in the night, but but he let, yeah, anyways, the next day we go to Moses Lake and we're staying in a, what's that, like a budget inn or a Motel 6, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's literally, you can see the pool from our hotel room, which sounds nice, except for the pool's been closed for probably 18 months, 20 months, something like that. People have thrown fucking lounge chairs and shit into it. The net's all ripped. The hotel is technically 2 beds, but if you put 2 double beds on both sides, you can barely fit a single nightstand in between them.
Right.
Both of our sheets have cigarette burns in them in a hotel room that you can't smoke in. So, like, yeah, either people are smoking in these rooms, and that's probably what happened, or these sheets have been around since you were allowed to smoke cigarettes in there.
Which is probably
the next night. Yeah, so the next night we were going to stay in Post Falls, Idaho, because we had a show in Montana. Jess was going to drive me back to Spokane so I could get on an airplane. We just needed to get in this hotel room, shower, get away, get to the show. We drive all the way to the hotel room. We show up, and we're like, can we check in? They go, no check in till 4. Well, this had all been discussed with somebody else. This lady was like pulling a huge power trip. We like argue with this lady for like an hour and a half, and she finally just lets us into a room. She's the only person working. It's not like a new room opened up. She just had to run this power trip. And yeah, we ended up driving to Kalispell, Montana, and back to this dog shit hotel. It's and also, oftentimes, sometimes this isn't true, but a lot of times when you get put in those hotels, this isn't the best customer service in the world you're receiving, you know?
Right. Oh, no. That hotel that I was talking about before with the moldy shower, when I went to go check in, the woman that was checking me in was on the phone with her girlfriend, her wife, who was at home with a screaming baby. She's talking to them, but still can't find my reservation. So she's doing all that. There's a beeping going off. There's the smell of an obvious gas leak in the office. And she's like, yeah. And then it smells like gas. And I called Carl and I told him over and over. And he said he was going to fix it, but he hasn't fixed it yet. I'm like, what the? So when I saw the room, I wasn't shocked by it. But I definitely have better rooms than I did when I was wrestling. Because when we're wrestling, the motel rooms would be like, you know, we're staying at $50 a night room hotels. And then we had like 4 or 5 people in the same room. Like we were just everyone. Yeah. It's just brutal. Fucking nightmares.
Hey, did you know that the show that we did in Anacortes was the last show I did for 5 weeks?
Really?
You may recall there were some technical issues on that show.
I was going to say 5 weeks. That's 1 week for each microphone that didn't work.
I know, exactly. So I got laryngitis after that. I was a little bit sick that day. And then I was like screaming so the people in the back of the room could hear. And yeah. I got laryngitis from it. And I had 2 rounds of steroids and I got finally on the mend like recently. Like last weekend was the first shows that I did back.
Holy shit.
You did pay me thousands of dollars to do it, so it was totally worth it.
Yeah, I figured that would at least carry over for the next 5 weeks. So,
yeah, that was wild though. There was a lot of stuff that's wild about that place because it's a little bit of, you told me in advance it was going to be rowdy, and so yeah. I knew. I mean, listen, it's a fucking Elks Club. I'm not surprised that it's going to be rowdy, but When you take the power of amplification away in a rowdy environment, you lose 100% of your power.
Yeah.
And so not only were we fighting technology and what was already going to be a rowdy crowd, but these people who are empowered because their voices are maybe louder than ours in some cases.
Certainly, especially to everybody there. The weird part was that, like, I don't, on a show like that, I don't consider people just randomly shouting out weird stuff. I don't really consider that heckling just because of that type of show. What I would consider heckling is someone like screaming at the top of their lungs in the middle of your punchline. And someone did that three times during that show. And each time it was the exact same person. It was my, it was one of my best friend's wife who had gotten so drunk.
Oh,
she's the
no.
nicest person in the world. But she kept just screaming during the punchline. She was the only person that was really heckling. And that included like the woman up front who was practically doing somersaults because she was so drunk.
Yeah, she was wild. There was a lady there in like a Simpsons, like a full Simpsons. So is that, let me clarify before I tell her story. Is that person related to you in any way?
No, but okay.
So
she does want to open finish. For me next time. So
she told me that she's a lesbian, and then she told me all this stuff that I'm like, I understand you're a lesbian, but I think you might also be homophobic. Like, you're fucking crazy. like it's like a country lesbian where you're like, oh, like Mark Norman has that great joke where he's like, you don't really meet like ignorant gay dudes. You don't meet dudes that are like, I like my gun, my truck, and dick. Like, right. No, you don't meet. But this lady was like the ignorant gay person where you're like, oh, I think you might hate gay people. And you also love gay women, apparently.
Probably not even gay women, women.
Yeah, fair. That's true. I guess that's, listen, it's all a spectrum, Todd. I'm not sure if you're aware.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
And then there was, yeah, so the incredibly drunk lady up front was great. It's also like, when you make fans there, you're like, I want to have fans, but sometimes I'm like, are these the ones I want? There was a guy that was playing pool when I came off stage, and he started a conversation, and he's like, it was like very confident, like almost I thought I knew him already. And then he's like, I just got back from Las Vegas. I got my first voice acting job, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he just kept going and going. And then he found out you were from Las Vegas. And again, I don't know how many of these people are related to you. So I'm not just going to be an asshole to any one of these people. And he corners you with the same shit.
Yeah, I'm literally related to two people in that crowd. One of them was my mom, who was shocked at how much you talked about ass eating during your set. And then
she was upset I didn't talk about it more because I didn't talk about it one time. She wants Mama Royce might be a freak, dude.
All right. yeah, but you know what's crazy is that like that show, they were actually a lot less drunk and crazy than the first show that I did a year ago. And, but yet, like, they all had been there the year before. And they were like, when you come back next time, talk about this, talk about, and it's like they are a loyal fan base, which is insane. Cause I didn't know, like, none of them follow me at all. Like, none of them knew me, at all. Mama Royce. God damn. And what's up, Tommy Johnson?
Tommy Johnson, who I have a joke about Tommy Johnson's, wiener. Right now.
Yeah.
You haven't heard it. I'll send it to you.
Tommy's Johnson?
Tommy's Johnson. Tommy also says that he has an Eagle Rare cigar for me. That's a lie he's been telling. Because I'm a big Eagle Rare whiskey fan. Anyway, so you're...
Let's talk cigars. Are you a big cigar guy?
Anything to get away from talking about how Mama Royce...
Pretty much, yeah.
Is a vixen. So
she's been married five like times, cigars. And she has no money, so I assume she has something going on, but I don't want to think about it.
Atta girl. So I like cigars. I'm not a. I'm not like an aficionado. I also have a laryngitis issue. Thank you, Todd. But no, I like cigars. I'm not like. I know. In order, I know like beer, whiskey, in inverse order. Beer, whiskey, wine, and cigars. So I know the most about beer and the least about cigars. I like cigars, but I also used to smoke cigarettes, so I try not to ruin my life by reigniting my addiction to nicotine. And every time I smoke more than one cigar in like a month's time, I get that like nicotine craving.
I like cigars a lot. It's the one vice I've allowed myself in life.
Yeah, it's the only one. You don't have any other. Otherwise, your body's a temple.
I'm a health nut for sure.
I think it's like the Colosseum.
Yeah. I've literally been like, okay, cigars, instead of getting a sundae, I'll get a cigar. Like, I thought that was going to be a good replacement, and it hasn't really worked. But I did find out that smoking a cigar while eating a sundae is not a bad treat.
It's rare, though. I guess you have to move to Vegas to have that opportunity, because there's very few places that serve ice cream and let you smoke indoors.
No, it's true.
Even also, the places wait, that, that's... Real
quick, you always make fun of me for being old, but how old does it make me sound that my go-to was a sundae?
Like a yeah, nice that's hot crazy.
Sundae.
Yeah, from the local soda jerk. He's a nice boy. I know his mom.
Let's not talk about my mom anymore.
Not your mom, the soda jerk's mom. I think your mom's great. Better than you, I'd argue, by a long shot.
There.
I actually didn't even meet her. My understanding was you stayed much longer than she wanted to at the Anacortes Elks Club.
My mom
I was talking to your wife briefly.
When we were leaving, like it was the end. There's only a few people left. My sister, my mom, myself, and my wife. We all started to walk out, and my mom turned around and goes, "By the way, I was talking to whatever her friend's name is." She's like, "It turns out." Her husband died back in 1997. He was in a car accident, but he had a heart attack that caused, and they weren't sure if it was the car accident that caused the heart attack or the heart attack that caused the car accident, but it took her years to get over it. She was really, really sad. She went into deep depression. I'm like, Mom, we're in the fucking doorway. She just stopped in the middle of walking out to tell me the story about some woman I don't know whose husband died 30 years ago.
Well, I think you're fucked up for not letting her process her grief, and because that's another thing is she's also experienced loss recently, your mom, and you just won't have no sympathy for her apparently.
I mean, what her husband died. It happens.
You get a new one.
I mean,
you've had five.
You've done it before. How many of those do you think are still kicking? I know of at least three that are gone.
Oh, maybe there's a pattern. Maybe Mama Royce, right? Maybe Mama Royce is a victim. Holy shit! A victim, a vixen. Well, maybe both. Who knows?
Maybe one. Yeah, a little beach.
All right. Well, I think this is. I'm trying to keep these around. Oh wait, hold on. Dateline special soon. I think Mike Hansen is saying your mom is a suspected murderer. I agree, dude. I think your mom has. Mother murder, I think. The last one of these live streams, when I put it out as a podcast, it was called Good Father. I think Mother Murder is going to be the name of this one.
Oh, good. That'll be great for it. I also, I would love
That'll be great to be basically accused of killing your recently deceased husband. That'll be good. All right, yeah. I hope she never sees this. I take it back.
The man had cancer for 6 years and was supposed to die.
How'd he get it?
In. Huh?
How did he get it? What was she?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
What long game was she playing?
I hope this podcast does show up on a Netflix documentary special, and it just starts with the camera flipping over. And...
That would be amazing. All right, Todd. Can you, for the very few people that are watching, but the people who may listen to this, wait, hold on. Mike Hansen, anti-freezing his Sunday.
Hansen's been the funniest on this podcast I've ever seen him.
Tommy says, there's somebody got sad. There's a lot of people giving us the sad emoji. That's
oh
no, good.
No. Please tell me one of them isn't Kathy.
I don't know. Is Kathy your mom?
Yes.
No, it's not Kathy.
Thank
it's
God.
All right. Well, while we, I don't even know if you said them or not. I got distracted by Tommy and Mike. I got distracted by the chats. Did you say where you're going to be? Can you say where
no.
you're going
to be? No. So I have a show in Vegas on April 29th. And then, and there's always stuff in Vegas, but. And then May 27th at the Rogue, Chicago, Memphis, Louisville, Nashville. Oh, I have I'm doing Tucson, Arizona, May 4th and 5th. And then I'll be up at up in Washington. I'm going to do Angel of the Winds in August, and then
nice.
Jokers in Richland. And then on July 8th, I'm doing that new comedy bar in Seattle.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. That's good. Thank you. I'm going to end this broadcast for everyone else so we don't get any more damning chats. And I'll talk to you for a minute off the podcast.
Okay.